It doesn't seem right to start an open lines segment without leadoff hitter Cornelius on a wild card line on Coast to Coast AM. Cornelius?
Hey, Ian Punnin and Tommy and all the callers and listeners. Ian, we need to pray for our country and stuff. I was just telling Tommy, they're going to have a show on TV or I guess on the internet called Restore America from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Washington, D.C., and Franklin Graham, of course, that's Billy Graham's son, is going to be leading it. And with all the things, you know, attacking police officers, and we had an incident here, and I got to tell y'all it was bad, we thought, but the cop said that somebody was shooting at him, at a Pineville police officer, which is our sister city across the river. Come to find out, he was playing with his gun. He shot himself and shot up the car. And so he's in jail. So it's just sad, you know. And I pray for our country and stuff. And I hope our lady friend from Louisville will call in, the reincarnated Cleopatra, and tell us how she's doing in Louisville. I've got a cousin there, so.
Well, I appreciate that. It'll be good to know that everybody's doing well tonight, and at least we don't have any, at least of last report, any major bad weather, too, which we have compounding all of the fires and hurricanes and everything else. So, always pray for peace and always pray for our future that we can get back on track. Mike is on a wild card line on Coast to Coast AM. Mike?
Oh, good morning, Ian. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's so great to talk to you again. It seems like we haven't talked for a couple of weeks at least, but how are you? How have you been?
I'm great. Thank you. And it's open line, so where are you going to take us?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. I had a comment about SpaceX, but first I got to ask you if you watched that Monday night football game earlier, the opening of the Las Vegas Raiders stadium. It was really amazing.
I thought the Raiders played very well. I wasn't pulling for him, but I thought, man, that running back in particular, he's a winner. So, yeah the Raiders look good.
I was just very impressed by the stadium. They did an outstanding job on it, and it's just beautiful. I mean, that's what $2 billion gets you, I guess, these days.
Yeah, well, it better be beautiful for $2 billion. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. Well, you know, tonight I had a comment on SpaceX. So, you know, SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, for the first time next year, will launch a military GPS satellite, and it's going to have a previously unused main booster. And, you know, it's kind of interesting what, you know, Elon Musk is doing with SpaceX. And I just kind of was wanting to get your thoughts on SpaceX and kind of what
Right. Well, I like the idea of that. I mean, I think if I understand correctly, too, didn't I just hear that Tom Cruise is going to be filmed going up on one of Musk's rockets for shooting a sequel to Mission Impossible or something like that, or whatever that is. Well, I maybe I'm wrong on that, but it was something to do with an upcoming movie, and the director from the Bourne Identity movies was going to go with him. I like that kind of privately funded thing. I think that's great. I mean, I heard NASA talking about going back to the moon. The price tag's pretty high. We don't have any reserves right now, so in light of how bad the economy is, anything that can produce more jobs, get people back to work, that would be great. And anything that is going to be a matter of our grandchildren or your great-grandchildren paying off this debt, I'm a little less enthusiastic about. So I'm all for that. Thumbs up on that for me. Wildcard line, Jason is also in Denver on Coast to Coast. Jason?
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, and back to the discussion about the prince in the sand of the desert. First of all, I have to say I have more of an investigative mindset, kind of being a former police officer and have had some crime scene training.
Sure.
There are numerous variables when you're investigating something, and there's also the consideration of a hoax and lots of things put on the internet. Of course, you know, just because we saw something on the internet means it's true, right? Well, I don't know. So I don't know, really. Nobody can really say what they know what this is, but My question is, or I guess I would appeal to the sense of everyone's intuition. I've heard now and then of an animal called the chupacabra. And I don't know, you know, there's so many unknowns of these things, but is this even a possibility that this animal could be somewhere, because it's known to be in the geographical areas of the U.S. and Mexico border area?
Well, so is Bigfoot, though. So, I mean, in that sense, it's not a mutually exclusive residence. I mean, where you would say, well, definitely not Bigfoot, because they don't go there. But and I think chupacabra generally, as they are described, would not have humanoid like, you know, feet. Maybe the weight and the height, I don't know. I mean, because people talk about this from all sorts of different perspectives, and I don't know that I've ever gotten some sort of definitive description of what a chupacabra would look like and or how much it would weigh. But, you know, I think we always are mindful about hoaxes. I am, and I think ML Behrman is too, which is why he threw that out there as a possibility when he was going through it. But it didn't seem to pass the smell test for a hoax. And beyond what he was able to eliminate for, it just kind of left open the possibility that it would seemingly be heading in the direction of something authentic. What that authentic thing is, he wasn't able to say, except it's consistent with other stories in the desert. I'll go to Wayne for hanging on in Tacoma, Washington. Thank you, Jason. Wildcard line on Coast to Coast AM. A lot of people hanging on, trying to get in as many as we can before the bottom of the hour. Wayne?
Good evening, Sir Ian. Wanting to, first of all, give a shout out and a prayer to Martha and Barry Poole. They're going through some troubling times. He's a frequent caller, of course. And
is that Barry of Rock Hills? Who had the stroke?
Barry of Rock Hills.
Yeah, right. I heard about that. I was sorry to hear about that. Yeah.
So, all prayers and good thoughts towards him.
Yeah, it's sad that it's happened. I hear he's in the hospital and getting good care, though, which is always the best.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
And, you know, if there's any way to get some good gospel music, because I know I'm talking to Barry, he likes gospel music. That might help soothe him a little bit and help him a little bit. Anyway.
Well, hopefully he's sleeping right about now. Hopefully he's in a... I'd play something for him, but I hope he's getting the treatment that and some real rest instead of being up in the middle of the night. But that's a sweet thought.
Yes, let's all pray for that. And tonight I wanted to cover something that I picked out of the New York Times news today. I don't like quoting them normally, but this is something that comes... it's an article that came out of Melbourne, Australia, I guess. News broke that a Chinese company with links to the China Ministry of State Security has been secretly profiling prominent Australians. And if they're doing it in Australia, they're doing it throughout the world. And the way they do this is through their students. There's over a million international students throughout the world. One-third of them are in the United States, so approximately 300,000 students in the United States, and they're all told to follow social media and profile prominent Americans.
Well, they're not all told to do that. I'm with you up to when you say they're all told to do that. You have no proof of that. And I tell you, I have a lot of Chinese students. I teach them. And one of my cohorts in my PhD program was from Beijing. They were not all told to do that. So just be clear about that. And I think a lot of them are suspicious of the Chinese government. And they really do like American freedoms. And many of them would prefer to move here if they could. And they wouldn't do anything to risk that because they're hoping perhaps that someday there'd be an opportunity for them here. But I do think it doesn't mean that there aren't many that are buried amongst there. And we know that for a fact because there's been arrests and many investigations at a university level when it seemed as though graduate students in particular were working outside of their lane. They were beyond their scope, and they seemed to be getting information and then passing it back to somebody in China and a kind of stealing industrial or academic secrets. So we do know that happens. I just don't. I don't think it's fair to say that every student is like that.
Well, you're right, Dion. And yeah, I was over speaking a little bit, but people need to be made aware of this, that the you know, if people are doing anybody, and it's anybody in government, anybody professional in business, if they're doing anything bad, it's picked up on the dark web, and they're using the dark web to secure a lot of this information. They apparently have ways to get bank records and job applications and psychological profiles. And this is what the article said they've all picked up on. And
well, I think that's probably, and I'm sure that that's true for China. We know that it's true for Russia. I wish our country wasn't playing favorites on what it was willing to call out, because I think the Russian interference is pretty well documented. And I think there have been just as many instances of so-called Russian businessmen that were really spies here too, and for that matter, students. And I know that this also applies to a lot of countries, but we should also be prepared for not getting into a situation where we're going to be making a lot of assumptions based on national origin. But we should always, at the same time, hold that intention with being suspicious of, as you said, suspicious activity, and making sure that that gets reported. So glad you at least raised awareness on that. Wildcard line, Blair is in Sedona on Coast to Coast. Blair?
Hi, Ian. I was active duty Navy in the 1980s, I was stationed at the Norfolk, Virginia Navy base.
Right.
One weekend Liberty call, I drove over to Virginia Beach and visited the ARE headquarters that preserve Edgar Casey's legacy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I have a little snippet here from a 1933 session where he talks about the Antichrist. Oh, by the way, check out chapter 2, verse 18 of the first epistle of John. It states there's more than just one Antichrist, by the way. I think part of the quote is, even now, many antichrists have come.
Okay, well, wait, but just know it. You got to know what John meant by that. So I'm with you 100%. It actually, so antichrist was a very common expression, and it referred to anybody who was standing in opposition to Christianity or to the movement. And so most often, antichrist was referred to in the plural. It didn't mean that there'd been many antichrists, like as we talk about it, like in the movie, like the series, like The Omen or The Exorcist or something like that. It meant anybody that was antichrist. So that's why John mentions it in the plural. That's why it's actually very difficult to find in the Bible antichrist referenced in the same way that we use antichrist. And we have blended we've conflated the two, that antichrist means the devil. And I don't think that that's actually what the Bible is clear on at all.
I think you're right on. Well, anyway, the question was, in what form does the antichrist come, spoken of Revelation? And this is Edgar Casey's answer. In the spirit of that opposed to the spirit of truth. The fruits of the spirit of the Christ are love, joy, obedience, long-suffering, brotherly love, and kindness.
Yep.
Against such, there is no law. Otherwise, the spirit of hate, the Antichrist, is in contention, strife, fault-finding, lovers of self, lovers of praise. Those are the Antichrist and take possession of groups, masses, and show themselves even in the lives of men.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, this is actually pretty straight up, which is good. I'm so glad you're, you know, using this opportunity. I think that's a very consistent theological position on the true meaning of antichrists, and it goes back to, you know, even how we look at Satan, that Hasatan meant the opposer. And or, you know, the instigator. And it was that same type of idea, that always somebody stirring up trouble when there should be peace. That's a pretty good explanation. That's a pretty good way of looking at evil right there. I'll go with that. West of the Rockies, Howard is in Vancouver on Coast to Coast. Howard?
Hello, Ian.
Hey.
Good to talk to you again. Thank you for taking my call.
We got a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. You're talking about rather spooky things tonight.
I hope so.
And we have something out here in Washington that I think is worth mentioning. You've probably heard of SETI. Now, that is a place where, you know, people see UFOs and that sort of thing. It's about 12 miles to the south of Mount Adams.
Right. It's where a lot of the videos come from.
Now, there's a different kind of a mystery there. About 15 miles to the east, there is a small volcanic peak. It's called Lemmy Rock. And it's at the base of that mountain, there is a small lake. It's called Goose Lake. And what it is it's an ancient volcanic sinkhole. Hmm. And from time to time, hunters and campers come back from there and mention that they have seen an apparition on the side of that lake. They claim they saw a Native American woman combing her hair, standing on the edge of the lake. And this has been reported many times. Now, the...
I got about 20 seconds, but I love this story. I may have to look into it for a future show. I think that's really interesting. I mean, I know all about the Mount Adams stuff, and I attempted to go there when I was out that area because I know it's so consistent for people getting cool videos. But, all right, very interesting. Well, I'll look into that. Thank you. And that's what I love about open lines. I always get homework out of it. And so we'll find out where you're going to take us with open lines. We'll open them all up for you again coming up in just a minute with the numbers on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. I also love keeping in touch with you at Deacon Punnett if you go to Twitter. And that's the best way, I think, to get a hold of me. I think that there are several fun comments, too, I'd love to get back to on Twitter. But right now we've got so many people hanging on. We'll start with them. Mike is in Greensboro, North Carolina, on Coast to Coast. Mike?
Oh, hi, Ian. First off, I wanted to answer your question. You had a question about where's Dublin, Georgia, a few months ago, so I just wanted to answer that, please.
Where was what?
Dublin, Georgia.
Oh, I don't think I'd ever been there, yeah.
Okay, because I know somebody was mentioning that, and you wanted to know where it was. It's on I-16, about halfway between Macon and Savannah, and it was a frequent stop for us when we used to go to the shore there. We used to stop and get gas and food, so.
Love that.
At the time, there wasn't too many other towns, maybe one other town on I-16 between the whole way between Macon and Savannah. So that's just some trivia for you.
That is the best way to get to Savannah from Atlanta, was just go to Macon and make a left. Take it to the coast.
Right down 16, yeah.
Yeah. But you had a comment. It's open lines.
Yes. I wanted to get your take on this. This has been kind of in my mind for a while now, but I figured you would be a good one to discuss it with, please. George had a guest on a few years ago, and this was her comment. And, you know, I see where she's coming from, but I'm not so sure if I 100% agree with it, please. And I just wanted to get, you know, another person's take on this comment, please. She basically said that, you know, people under 50 lack overall maturity and gravitas. And, you know, I see where she's coming from in that, but I don't think that's really fair to just...
Let me guess and say she's over 50.
Yes.
Okay. And her point is one that is timeless, that everybody who's already been through one stage of life thinks everybody behind them is an idiot. Wow, insightful. No, I don't believe in that at all. And I think, in fact, as we get older, many of us get more foolish. And we think that everything that we ever needed to know, we learned when we were 24 years old. And we become impervious to anything like new ideas or change. So, no, that's ludicrous. But so's the idea of 100% agreement with anything. I don't know that I agree 100% with anything. I don't even know that I agree 100% with that statement I just made. I'm just saying, you know, there's always going to be doubt. There's always going to be dissension. I think the hardest part is to go through life and see people that are so focused on something that didn't get said. They're always pointed. That's so the internet to me. You know, they agree 95% with something that somebody said, but it's that 5% they're going to take issue with. Why bother? But no, I'm with you. No, I think it's a highly suspicious statement, but it sounds like a very geezerly thing to say, something I try never to say every day, because I learn from those of us that are both younger and older from me every day. Jim is in Placerville, California, on Coast to Coast on a first-time caller line. Jim?
How you doing, Ian?
Good. Welcome. First-time caller.
Yes. I love that word, geezerly.
Geezerly, exactly right. Best damn word for me half the time. Yeah.
I got a new word. Good. I just wanted to tell you about something that happened to you about 2 weeks ago.
All right, sure.
Okay, I'm taking the trash out, and I saw a shooting star.
Cool.
And it stopped dead.
Really?
With no deceleration, it just shot across the sky and then just stopped. And so from my time knowing how to figure things out, I sort of lined it up with a branch and watched it for about 10 minutes. And about the time I was convinced that it was just a shooting star, it shot back the other way.
Yeah. Interesting. No, very interesting. No, I believe you. It sounds fascinating. And I like the fact that you tried to have a frame of reference. I like that with the branch thing.
That's what I was trying to do, yeah. I tried to get a frame of reference and have it locked in, and then it just shot back the other way, and then it happened 2 weeks later again.
Oh, wow. Very interesting. Well, keep an eye on that. I mean, at some point, you got to say, dude, if it's already happened to you twice, you're obligated to have some sort of ability to capture that image next time. I realize it's probably too dark to be able to get
my phone out.
Yeah. I mean, if it's already happened to you twice, then you should be ready for that third one, and you know where to send the video when you get it. Thanks for jumping in. East of the Rockies, Rod is in Wisconsin for Open Lines on Coast to Coast. Rod?
Thank you, Ian, very much. You're an awesome narrator.
Well, thank you.
Bear with me, because I'm not as literary as you. You know, on this Bigfoot, the different names.
Sure.
I just try to, I'm thinking like about this stuff all the time. UFOs, because I did see a UFO. I mean, anyhow, and weird things have happened to me. I mean, very unexplained now. I'm on head medication even. I'm thinking about ECT, electric convulsive therapy. Because there's things that I have seen, and it's like if you can't tell people this stuff, it's just like, what have you been smoking and or whatever.
Right. You want to hit the reset button on ECT, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm thinking about getting it, but
yeah.
Anyhow, on Bigfoot, I two perspectives, and I like your point, viewpoint. We have prehistoric creatures with us today. There are sturgeon are prehistoric.
Right.
Dragonflies are prehistoric.
Right.
And there are other, Croatia or something, fish in the ocean, supposedly is. So, I mean, I'm just thinking, this Bigfoot is, or whatever the Native American name is, this could be something prehistoric. Or,
sure.
What about the biblical connection where supposedly, there were the angels that were thrown from heaven.
Right.
The
Nephilim, you're referring to the Nephilim, the fallen ones that came down and mated
they had sex with
with
women, and they bore these giants. What do you think is if there's any possibility of that? And can I make one other quick point?
I'll try to keep track of them all. Go ahead.
Well, this isn't about that. Just say yes or no. This is a political thing.
Okay. I don't do politics on this show, but go ahead.
Well, have you ever noticed Donald Trump will criticize every leader of every nation except Putin?
Well, he's in his own words, he likes strong men. So I think that's fair to say that's not even a political statement. That seems to historically reflect his position. And it's not just Putin, it's Erdogan. He's fond of, obviously, of the dictator of North Korea, and many members of his family. He believes that. He likes autocrats. And he thinks I think he resonates with autocrats because as the head of his own company, he doesn't have to answer to anybody. And I think that's thank you for, this is a very handy opportunity for me to plug my book, by the way. But to answer your other question before I do, the most important point about the Nephilim is we don't really know what it means. We think we know what it means, but the notion that somehow those giants that the Bible, to which the Bible refers, that they are, could still be here in the form of Bigfoot, when in fact, you know, we have stories of Goliath, right? We have stories of other references to very big people that existed at the time, which were considered to be giants. So I don't know that we have to go to Bigfoot to tie that to the fallen ones. But that's, you know, I think many people would make connections like that. I lost track of all your other points, but let me just say then for one other quick thing about the book. So I've already started to do some pre-publicity for this. George has been kind enough to invite me coming up. And I hope to have some of my co-authors from this new book called How Millennials Can Get Us Out of the Mess We're In. Pre-sales are up on Amazon. And it's actually about leadership. It's a book about using Moses as a model for modern leadership going forward. Moses was a coalition builder. Moses was given the agency to do it all by himself. And he didn't. He chose not to. Instead, he chose to build groups of people that would be invested as he moved forward into a very difficult transition. So we've been having a lot of conversations about leadership styles. And that's a kind of a big part of the book, is that millennials, by characteristic of a generational characteristic, they much prefer causes over money. There's nothing wrong with money, but they want to know that what they're doing to earn money is also part of something bigger. And so that book is up for pre-sales right now. We did an interview today with somebody who is a liberal sort of progressive podcaster. And then on Monday, we were on a slightly right of center cable network out of England. And the book fits in both of those places, as long as people don't get too bugged out about trying to claim that anybody's perfect. So thank you for that, because I agree. I'm not an autocrat kind of guy. I like democracy, and I've always fight for democracy. It's worthy of us to fight for, and I hope that we can balance things out a little bit moving forward. I'm not telling anything about who you should vote for. Let me go to, Annie is in Alabama on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Annie?
Thank you, Ian, for taking my call. I have a comment and a question. I've discovered that there's gluten in a lot of cereals, and that includes my very favorite. And it's hidden gluten because it doesn't come out and say wheat, barley, rye, and oats. It says malt. Well, in the United States, it's almost impossible to find malt made from any other grain but barley. In some countries, they might do it. I can't find it, but this is Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. But the good news is that a lot of brands do have gluten-free Frosted Flakes, and you can't tell the difference.
Okay.
And when they take it out, then I'm going to eat it again.
Well, I don't know that they'll ever take it out. Most people are not gluten intolerant. Most people don't, I mean, overwhelmingly, there's a very small percentage of the population that have a gluten problem. And if you do, for God's sakes, yeah, by all means, be on the lookout for any gluten products, including gluten-free pasta and gluten-free. A lot of restaurants have begun to offer that. But it's not like gluten is like, you know, not for many people is gluten poison. I happen to not care for products that don't have gluten in them. Give me extra gluten. I'll take your gluten. Whatever gluten you're not using, I'll take it, because I don't have a problem with it. But I do understand that some people do, and I'm glad that they're offering an alternative to that. So I think that people that have that and have a kind of a Frosted Flakes Jones can satisfy that in the morning. Wildcard line, Linda is in Illinois on Coast to Coast. Linda?
Well, Ian, let's put it this way. We may be in Illinois, but they're taxing us to death up here.
Oh, I heard.
Everybody's moving out. They're all leaving.
Well, I don't know about everybody, but many people are. And, yeah, they are. The taxes have gotten pretty high in Illinois, yeah.
Yeah, but he wants more now. He's trying to raise it again. Annie, I'm so glad that you're okay. I called and asked Tommy one night if you were okay.
What was wrong with Annie?
They had that hurricane down there.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay, sure.
You know,
right.
And I know Cornelius is okay. Tommy told me that, but I hadn't heard Annie on here. But I'll leave my phone number with Tommy, and if you want to call me sometime, Annie, you can very well call me. But then the next thing that I want to say, I heard on the radio earlier tonight, they broke in, and Rand Paul, they said, had a stroke.
Ron Paul.
Rand. Is it Rand or Ron?
Ron, the dad.
Was it the dad that had the stroke?
Yes. It was earlier today, Ron Paul.
Yep. No, because he was giving a speech.
He was on TV. I think the video actually is online. And you could start to see, I think the left side of his face started drooping. They quickly ended the interview, and I believe he got some help after that. And later on, there's a photo of him giving a thumbs up from the hospital bed. So he was saying that he's okay. And I think that's great news. But, yeah, Ron Paul. Appreciate the comment, though, and that we should all, anytime, you know, anybody who's been through that, have somebody go through a stroke in their family, boy, you know, if you can recover from that as though nothing ever happened, that is a true blessing, always worth praying for. All right, so let me get to, I think it's Georgine in Illinois on a wild card line. Georgine?
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead. Where in Illinois are you?
Well, I'm from Illinois. Right now I'm in Tennessee. I'm a truck driver, and I'm on one of my runs.
Excellent. Well, glad to hear it. Somebody also, I lived in Tennessee for a long time, so I relate to both of those. So,
thank you. I was calling on the 13th and 14th of this month. I had two separate things happen. I don't know if they're related to each other, but I think they are. Okay. I was on I-24 eastbound headed for Nashville.
Right.
And I had just crossed into Tennessee, and I was at the number one mile marker. And there was this sudden, I can only compare it to what appeared to sound like a helicopter right above me, a really loud vibratory sound. And it just instantly disoriented me. And I had to pull over on the shoulder of the road. And I just happened to notice I was right next to a Tenova Care. And I thought, well, maybe it's a helicopter landing, you know, emergency or something. I didn't know. And it passed within about 30 seconds, that disorientation. And I thought, boy, that was odd, but I don't know why it would have disoriented me. So I got back on the road, and I kept going. Now, I'm perfectly healthy. There, you know, no medical issues.
Right.
And I really didn't think a lot about it, and I completed my run. Well, the next night, I'm headed back to Nashville again. And again, eastbound on I-24, pulled off at the 86-mile marker in Kentucky to make a pit stop. And as I was getting back on the interstate, now, the 86-mile marker and the number one-mile marker from the previous night is only 6 miles apart. And as I started to get back towards the interstate, I noticed in the sky really, really low were two rows of red lights. And I thought, what is that? Because they were perfectly aligned, but
right,
they were about the size of a football field apart.
Hmm.
And as I started getting close to the overpass, I had to go under the overpass to loop around and get back on I-24, I realized what I was seeing. It was some type of flying craft. I can only compare it to like looking at the underside of a football field.
Right, right, right. Well, you are right by Fort Campbell, though, right? So that, I mean, Fort Campbell is so big. It's actually more, it's one of the largest bases, and it has a ton of its spaces in the Kentucky side. But then it cuts down right over the, you know, right at I-24, right at the Tennessee border, right near Clark's Vegas. So with lots of helicopters, lots of planes. Are you sure it wasn't something like that? Got to be really quick here in your answer.
Right. No, it was not that, because there was absolutely no sound. And
well,
the craft about.
Well, we don't know what they're experimenting with, though, too. So I'm curious about that. So I'm with you on the no sound, but there are those helicopters that are equipped to be very silent. We used them when we were getting Bin Laden. But cool, and I wish I had more time for it, but we're coming up to the top of the hour. We've got a whole other lineup of calls. But maybe somebody can follow up on that coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.